Welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. Nicole, we were late because she was trying to get me to move my bowl and I made coffee. No, the bowl is
That's not why we were late.
I said I was making coffee. Okay. But there's a reason. I had a little throat issue yesterday, so I was told by people on the stream, have something to put in your mouth in case. So I have bloobs. Hide my bowl. And then I made myself coffee because Nicole was of the belief that if I had my warm coffee yesterday, I would have been better. So I'm keeping my bowl right there, ma'am. Okay. Thank you very much. Welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback, our final live show of the week. And we have a good one for you. And by good one, I'll be honest, I had a whole come to Jesus with Nicole about whether I should even read and tell you about a story we're going to do later. We're going to have to give graphic warnings. But we talked about the Olympia School District, a lesson that Planned Parenthood gave fourth and fifth graders. Well, there's another story about Planned Parenthood and what it's bringing into classrooms. And it is proof that Planned Parenthood cannot be trusted in our classrooms. So we'll have that coming up in our segment, Unbelievable. Also, momentarily, has the Washington State Republican Party finally captured its elusive white whale? We will discuss. And later on, this story around the missing submersible that was going to view the Titanic has truly brought out not only the worst of the internet, but the worst of mainstream media. This story about people who, it sounds like, are either already perished or going to perish. The amount of hate and vitriol directed at them has been so sick and sad and divisive, just odd. Before all of that, if you have not become a subscriber to the show already, please do so. We would love to have your support. It's how we continue to do the show. You can sign up for as little as $5 a month at undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. Also, a few opportunities to say hello in the next couple days. As we've been saying, I'm going to do a meet and greet this Saturday morning in Lacey. If you would like to stop by, Cutter's Point Coffee Company, 5831 Lacey Boulevard, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., again, you can just come by and say hello. You can stop and have some coffee. And you can also sign Referendum 101 to restore parental rights to Washington families. So I'll have that. Also, you may recall that my friend Tim Gatos, who's with Together Washington, they're putting together tomorrow a community cleanup in downtown Seattle, basically ahead of the MLB All-Star Game. Community groups, volunteers, businesses are going to try to clean the place up. Now, I think it's ridiculous that it's necessary, but I don't blame them for wanting to make the place look a little bit better so businesses can thrive during the MLB All-Star Game. So I will be in downtown Seattle doing my part, mostly because I made fun of Tim, and then he's like, well, now you have to come, and I promised him that I would, but I'm going to be there with a freaking smile on my face. Togetherwashington.com, togetherwashington.com, if you would like to learn. I've already heard from a few of you who are going to go, so if you'd like to sign up, togetherwashington.com. It is 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. tomorrow, Friday, June 23rd. Okay, let's dive into it today. The title of the episode is The White Whale, which Matt Gilbert, one of our subscribers, like said, finally an episode named after me. You are white. You're not a whale. I said in 2020, during the campaign cycle where it was Lauren Culp running against Governor Jay Inslee, who wanted a third term. I knew Lauren Culp didn't have a chance of winning. But if you recall the timing of things, so Dave Reichert, former congressman in Washington State, longtime congressman in the 8th Congressional District, which is now, he left and then a Democrat won it, and Republicans haven't been able to get it back, former King County Sheriff. I remember around the beginning of 2020 that there were rumors about maybe he was going to run for governor, and he decided not to. He decided against it. And then the pandemic happened. And then everything that followed with Governor Jay Inslee, overreach, the economy and all of that, I really think that had Dave Reichert ultimately run in 2020, he would have won. I really, truly, and I've said that a million times, I believe he would have won. But for him, you know, he didn't know the pandemic was coming. He didn't know that Governor Inslee was going to fail so hard and be so divisive in the process. So anyway, I thought this was an interesting tweet from, I'd heard rumors that State Senator Drew McEwen was going to run. He's a Republican for governor. And in fact, on Sundays with Subscribers, we had on the state party chair, Caleb Heimlich, who had mentioned Senator McEwen's name. Well, Senator McEwen sent out a tweet. He said, as some may know, I was considering a run for governor. I recently spoke with Dave Reichert, who's pictured here if you're watching on the stream. and he is actively exploring a run. With that in mind, I am fully endorsing him, and he is the right person for the job. Dave can restore balance to Washington. So here you have someone who is thinking about running for governor and is so convinced that Dave Reichert, the white whale for the GOP in Washington state, is actively exploring a run that he is going to step aside. Now, I am not going to lie to you and say that I've never talked to Dave Reichert about this. I was at an event, a Freedom Series event for KTTH. Nicole and I were backstage. Dave Reichert was backstage. I immediately went up to him. I'm like, Dave, what do you, why? Retirement doesn't suit you. And we had a whole conversation about it. And I still believe, you know, here's the thing with Dave Reichert. His name recognition is sky high. There isn't a Republican elsewhere in the state that has the name recognition he has. He's been elected to multiple positions in King County. The King County Sheriff, I think he caught the Green River Killer, so he had a lot of name recognition around that. And then he runs for Congress, and he ends up keeping it for a long time, that seat, before he ultimately left. And part of the reason he left was Donald Trump. He didn't like the vitriol and the climate in Congress. He wanted to retire and spend more time with his grandkids. And so he has that kind of feather in his cap where, you know, he has already long time ago spoken out about some of the things that Donald Trump did and said. And so my belief with Dave Reichert, if he decides to get into the race, I do not know sitting here today if he's made that decision. But if he can't win, then I think Republicans in Washington state have their answer. If he runs and he cannot win, then I don't think any Republican can win. And I think that Republicans in Washington state can then, from there on out, move forward and say, okay, let's spend our money more wisely. Let's just try to spend it on legislative races and at least get back the House or the Senate. Again, it's a conversation we had on the Sunday show this past week. But I think Dave Reichert is the ultimate test. And Nicole was saying he's also very handsome. Nicole says she was all giddy because he sat next to her at an event the other day.
If a handsome man like Dave can't win.
Well, voters don't just vote based on looks. If they did, Jay Inslee's not a bad looking guy.
No.
Tall. Yeah. When he ran for president, like the national media was fawning over him. Like he was just so handsome.
He's a fine looking guy. He has a nice stature.
I think it has something to do with it. I think you look at someone, you're like, they look like a president. They look like a governor.
Yes. I mean, and I'll say that for the other side too. Well, Jay and Barack and
Barack?
Obama.
Oh, I think Barack. People... I thought you said Brock.
Barack.
Like, Barack who? Brock Heward?
Yeah, I think that people who have a face for TV have an extra leg up. It's true.
Like people who are just attractive in life?
Yeah, radio faces.
Like conventionally attractive.
Yeah. But I mean, and it doesn't have to be, you know, handsome by any specific standard, but just that are put together.
Put together.
And that carry care themselves well.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So I would be lying if I said I didn't want Dave Reichert to run.
Oh.
I think it's the ultimate test. And there's a reason Republicans have been pursuing him as a gubernatorial candidate. Is he, again, you have some candidates who have no name recognition. They might be good at the job, but name recognition is a big part of it. And if you've got to spend $10 million in an election cycle to get up to that level of name recognition, Dave basically has $10 million in earned name recognition over the years. So he already starts up. But I also think he loves the state, obviously. He has a career of public service, a demonstrated ability to win in blue areas. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting. And maybe this is, it would shake up the field a lot. Senator Mark Mullett, who's the moderate Democrat, that would ruin his chances. He wouldn't have any chance if Dave entered the race. And the other two Republican contenders, their money would dry up. And so I think it would very quickly, if Dave entered, become a two-person race between Bob Ferguson and Dave Reichert.
Yes, although I don't think the others are going to drop out or anything.
No,
like
and I'm
that,
not saying they should.
I'm
not saying they should, but if your money dries up, because all the Republicans with money would give it to Dave Reichert. If your money dries up, then, and I think for the moderate Democrats who are in the race, you know, Mark Mullett and to some extent Hillary Franz, I think you were banking on there being this really uber crowded Republican field to sneak through. And if Dave Reichert enters the race, I think it completely changes the dynamic
Absolutely.
Of things. So this will be interesting to watch, but I just wanted to let you guys know because there's always the rumors, right? But for Senator Drew McEwen to say, he has said he's actively exploring a run, so I'm not going to run. It's interesting.
Yes.
So TBD, and apparently Nicole has a big crush on Dave Reichert.
Love it.
How are we supposed to cover him fairly if you've got the hots for him?
The hots.
The hots. You can say that. I'm happily engaged. Love you, babe. But I don't, when I look at other men, I don't see anything. I just look right through them. All right. Update on vaccine requirements and the workforce. So obviously I've been against vax requirements as a part of employment in the public sector since the very beginning. The Seattle Times had an article today, the headline, King County Metro to fast track rehiring workers fired over vaccine mandate. You don't say. The article by David Croman says King County Metro will fast track the rehiring of any workers who were let go for not complying with the county's COVID-19 vaccine mandate. An agency spokesperson said it's part of agreement struck with the local chapter of the Amalgamated Transit Union. However, this would require that these workers, if they want their job back, drop their right to sue or any claims they have against the department. That's an interesting kind of dilemma, because I would think, you know, as part of rehiring, if you've been out of work, I don't blame you for feeling wronged. You know, all the work and all the stress that was kind of taken away, you know, any sort of time or seniority that you've built up, what if you can't get the exact same job back? So that's an interesting tit for tat. And I'm curious what you guys think about that. If you can have your job back after all this time and everything they did to you, but you have no right of claims or lawsuit against the agency, is that worth it? I don't know if that's worth it. I think that the lawsuits have a lot of merit given the fact, like what we know about the vaccine, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, King County Metro also is having staffing issues. And so that might be motivating them to say, hey, these people have already done the job. Let's bring them back. We don't have this vax mandate in effect anymore. But it's a really frustrating thing. You know, oh, now you're short-staffed. And now it's like, oh, let's bring back those people who we fired in dramatic fashion because they wouldn't get what at the time was an experimental vaccine that turns out it wasn't going to actually stop the spread of anything. So pretty disappointing that I think you have to give them that ultimatum. And I wonder how many people will take advantage of it. I wonder how many fired Metro workers actually want that job back after how they were treated, and to know that at any moment, if you don't do exactly what they tell you to do, you're out. I'd be very curious if there's any of you who work for Metro or who were fired over the vaccine mandate, if it's an offer that you're interested in pursuing, or if you've heard anything about it, but just an update on that story. Okay, we talked yesterday at the top of the show about how Washington State has today the highest gas prices of any state in the union. We've never been in this position before. Usually California has higher gas prices than us. So first time in history that Washington State has higher gas prices. And I talked on the show yesterday about how the cause is obvious. It is obvious. And to me, it's not even open for debate. It is because of the carbon tax. The carbon tax that Democrats in Washington State passed went into effect January 1st. And since then, we have seen the results of that. In fact, our friend Todd Myers with the Washington Policy Center, he was warning that, of course, that, you know, the state and Democrats, they were denying, oh, the gas companies, they won't pass, oil companies won't pass that along to people. It's not going to raise gas prices by any significant number. Todd Myers, like, yes, it will. And he estimated that it would raise them by 45 cents or 46 cents. It was 1 cent off of his estimates before the carbon tax. Clearly, the carbon tax is intended to raise the price of fossil fuels. That is the intent of it. And so I find it really interesting to see this continued sort of gaslighting. And yesterday I blamed politicians who voted for it and wouldn't just own the implication of it on people's pocketbooks. I blame the Department of Ecology that just regurgitated, parroted Governor Janssen's talking points. And I blamed the media. You know, the media had ample opportunity to genuinely fact check and look into the claims that were being made that the carbon tax could increase gas prices as much as 45 cents a gallon. And they didn't. And sometimes they, too, just parroted government talking points without pushing back. So anyway, State Senator Joe Wynn, who's a friend of the show, you know, progressive, we had him on many times. I like his ability to, you know, talk about things in a nonpartisan way and at least agree to disagree. So he was responding to all this controversy on Twitter yesterday because he was in support of the carbon tax. He said, the compliance obligation for oil companies is currently $0 in Washington, so it's interesting to see price gouging happening while they're also taking in record profits. And I think what he's saying there reflects a sentiment that you hear a lot from Democrats, and you heard it from Governor Jay Inslee Last summer, when we were going through the whole Ukraine sort of uptick in gas prices and, you know, limited production in the U.S. contributing to gas prices, and Inslee's assertion that, oh, big oil companies should just absorb added costs. It's like, no company is going to do that. You do not get to be absolved as a lawmaker by blaming big oil and blaming all scary big oil in their greed. You passed a law that increased costs for a business. That business is not going to absorb hundreds of millions of dollars in added costs. They're not going to do it. No business would. So yes, they're going to pass that cost along to consumers. Now, you calling them greedy and saying, well, they ought to do something nice for people, that can be your opinion, but it doesn't absolve you of promoting, supporting, ultimately voting for and passing a policy that was designed to increase gas prices, to increase the cost of fossil fuels. So I just find that deeply disingenuous. And as I said yesterday, just own it. If you believe a carbon tax is what's best for our state and what's best for our environment, you ought to be able to articulate that and tell people, here's why this is worth you paying an extra $100 a month for gas or whatever it is. Just own it. And I don't even think we'd be having this conversation. I'd still be against the policy, but at least you'd be intellectually honest. And then yesterday I criticized Tegna, which owns news stations, including Krem, including King 5. And they have this Verify effort where they'll go in and fact check things. And back in November of 2022, just a couple months before the carbon tax went into place, they did a fact check, totally falling hook, line, and sinker for the government line that, of course, this won't increase gas prices by as much as 46 cents a gallon. That's just not in line with reality. And I'm like, what kind of fact check is that? So anyway, Jake Wittenberg, who's an anchor at King 5, this is not an anti-Jake Wittenberg rant. I love Jake. I think Jake is one of the good ones. He's always been very kind to me, so I'm just going to put that there. No attacking Jake Wittenberg over this. But I was disappointed to see his tweets about this whole gas price debacle, and I don't know if they were in response to my segment yesterday, but he said, there's a lot of reasons you pay too much at the pump. Gas prices in Washington state are $4.93 a gallon on average today, and he gives the comparison of where gas prices are at today versus a month ago, and oil prices. He says, it's not just the cost of oil, it's also supply and demand. And people were pushing back at him like, dude, it's the carbon tax. And he was responding saying, is there proof that the new tax is impacting gas prices? It's debatable. Well, let's debate that. I mean, when you say, is there proof? That's your job, to go and look at the evidence and the proof and give consumers a clear picture. It's not enough to just say, oh, the government's saying this and the Washington Policy Center is saying this and it's debatable. You determine it on your own. No, I mean, this is, first of all, it's, and what kind of proof, I guess, necessarily do you need? I would point out that Democrats in Washington state attempted to pass a bill that literally would have taken out the line item on receipts for a gas station that purchases gas that would have said that this is the carbon tax offset, basically. This is the amount that you're paying, an itemized thing on the receipt, because of the carbon tax. And Democrats wanted to hide that, and so they tried to push a bill that would have hidden it and crossed it off as a line item. Why would they do that? Why would the Department of Ecology scrub from its website its assertion that the carbon tax was going to have a negligible impact on gas prices? Why was that there and now it's not? It's because they know that they were wrong or they lied. And so it's disappointing to me that you have this narrative that every bit of available evidence and common sense is telling you is untrue from the government and the Department of Ecology. And your response to that as a news entity is there proof that the new tax is impacting gas prices? It's debatable. You keep, that's the job of the media, is to get to the facts of the debate, is to look for proof one way or the other. And if you're saying there's no proof that it's impacting gas prices, then there's no proof it's not. Now, I would argue there's a lot of proof it's impacting gas prices. And the biggest piece of evidence is common sense tells us. We've never had, in Washington state, the highest gas prices of any state in the union ever in history. But now, 5 months into a brand new carbon tax, we've slowly been seeing our gas prices go up to the point that we're at right now. It's common sense. And again, as Todd Myers had said, the carbon tax was designed to do this. It is intentional. It's not debatable. And this is really an example of now government gaslighting, media either laziness or gaslighting. I'm not so sure, bias. But it's really disappointing because you're talking about people's ability to, I don't want to say survive, but financially survive. And I think there's a lot of, between politicians and the media, a lot of people who've never experienced like operating their budget on a razor thin margin and really having to budget, how many gallons can I put in my car today? How much can I spend at the grocery store? And having to count pennies. And I think if every politician, every member of the media had been in that position before, I've been in that position before, I think that you would look at this through a different lens. Because an extra 45, 46 cents a gallon of gas for people who are operating their family's budget on razor-thin margins, that is make or break for them. That's a big deal. So to be misled about it, to be gaslit about it, and for the media to just say, oh, there's no proof, it's debatable, that's not cool. It's not right. You're failing your obligations, and you just have to do better at the end of the day. You just have to do better. Okay, really quick update on the Gorge shooting. We talked about this at the beginning of the week. There was an EDM concert over the weekend, and there was a shooting that started in the campground. And Nicole called it at the time. Here's the article from Como News. So it was a JBLM soldier, by the way, who is the suspect in the shooting. JBLM soldier accused of deadly Gorge campground shooting was high on mushrooms, prosecutors say. And apparently he said he thought the world was ending. Nicole called it out. These EDM festivals, there's a lot of those weird psychedelic drugs going on. And I mean, it doesn't make his actions excusable or right. But it certainly isn't, you know, you want to make it all gun control, no, mushroom control or whatever it is. I mean, some mushrooms, you know, what do the people do with the mini dosing?
Yeah, the microdose.
Microdosing.
Yeah.
Whatever. But again, you know, are mushrooms the worst drug? I don't know. It's a mushroom. It's not, you know, meth.
Right.
However, if it can mess with your mind, obviously, and in significant ways.
In this case, for the Gorge and this event, it is very, I don't know that they encourage it, but it's very well known that you're going there to do stuff like that.
Hold on, so I don't get sued. The Gorge doesn't encourage drug use. But I think it's very well known that EDM concerts have gone hand in hand with, whether it's Molly, there's been noted issues with that, mm-hmm. whether it's mushrooms, etc. And you certainly shouldn't be using a firearm, carrying a firearm, doing anything with a firearm if you're doing shrooms. So, mm-hmm. but you called it, so I thought that
thanks.
It just sounded like it was absolutely drug induced.
Yeah, and it's really sad. I thought all of the videos and pictures of the victims, and it's heartbreaking.
Horrible. Okay, coming up next in our segment, Unbelievable. Proof positive, Planned Parenthood has no place in schools. Proof positive. I'm going to tell you, if you're watching the live show, you got kids in the room, this is not something you're going to want kids in the room for, which is why we're talking about it, because this was something that kids in the room were for. Finish your food, because it made Nicole gag a little bit.
Then
I'll not eat my bloobs. It's disgusting. It's genuinely disgusting. So we'll talk about that coming up next. First, I've been talking about our friend Wes Jones with sellwithwes.com. Awesome real estate agent. He and his team have an innovative marketing strategy to make sure that you get the most eyeballs on your home, the highest possible price for your home with the fewest contingencies. He was also telling me about their awesome concierge service, where if you know you've got some things that need updating on your home or fixed and you just don't have the money to pay out of pocket, they can help you with that on the front end so that you can get a higher price for your home. He also said that he does see a window of opportunity in the market right now for home sellers.
There's some pent-up buyer demand because buyers really went on strike starting last August and nothing happened. I should say very little happened the rest of the year. And it feels like we're getting back to your traditional seasonal real estate periods where a lot of home sales happen in the spring. So pent-up buyer demand, not a whole lot of options for buyers to purchase home, means that it's a great time to sell a home if you have to do something.
So check out sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. You can contact Wes. You can use their calculator tool to plug in your address, see what your home might be worth right now. And above all, you can get some really good advice on what's going on with your home, the state of it, what you might be able to get for it. So sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com, a better way to sell your home. Okay.
Here we go.
A graphic content warning. I'll probably do that 3 or 4 times throughout the course of this segment. Let's get to our segment, Unbelievable. We brought you an exclusive story a few weeks ago about the Olympia School District and the fact that parents found out that their fourth and fifth graders at one of the elementary schools had a sex ed lesson. And parents were warned, yeah, they're having a sex ed lesson, here's the curriculum. And then a person from Planned Parenthood came in and went way off script, ends up showing them weird graphic images. These are fourth and fifth graders of penises and vaginas and all of that stuff. And I'll just remind you, Nicole, do you want to show them the graphic in the Olympia School District? So this was a lesson Planned Parenthood gave off script in the Olympia School District. And it really got us thinking about why are they bringing in outsiders to do these lessons? Should they be bringing in outsiders to do these lessons? And if they bring in outsiders, what kind of, are the teachers watching?
Oversight.
What kind of oversight is happening? You don't just bring in some outsider and say, have at it, teach the kids whatever you want to teach them. Well, we have the approved curriculum, but you do you. So anyway, there was a story, and this is out of Canada, but it has to do with Planned Parenthood. And so I think it's just further proof of the fact that Planned Parenthood, if it cannot be properly monitored, if there are no checks, this is an outside entity, so it's not like someone who's a public employee who can be held accountable. They don't belong in school unless there are processes in place to prevent things like this. And again, some of this is really nasty. And the context I'll give you is this happened in a ninth grade class. So what is a ninth grader? 14? 14,
15? 15, 16.
15, 16? 14? 15.
15.
Okay. I am so grossed out by some of this, and I really struggled with, do I even read this stuff on the air today? But that is just proof that it shouldn't be anywhere near. I don't care if this was taught to seniors. It makes me uncomfortable. I don't even know what some of these things mean, nor do I ever want to know. And there is no legitimate sex education purpose to what I'm about to show you. So again, a little bit of context. There were a few tweets sent out about this. This one's from an account called Billboard Chris. He said, Planned Parenthood brought cards like this to a ninth grade class in Saskatchewan for kids to study the sexual alphabet. And then I've also included the statement the school ends up sending out to parents before I get to the flashcards that were in the classroom. The school said on Monday, June 19th, the Health 9 classes had a presentation provided by Planned Parenthood. The target of lesson related to contraceptives, sexually transmitted infections, and consent. During the presentation, the classroom teacher was always in the room. In addition to the presentation, students did have an opportunity to obtain secondary resources from a side table that were not referred to during the presentation. Staff do preview resources, but one of the resources consisted of A to Z sexual vocabulary, which was not in the scope of the grade 9 health curriculum. Sound familiar? Very similar situation in Olympia. Oh, we had curriculum. This was not in the scope of the curriculum. It goes on to say, Planned Parenthood did share that a single copy of the resource was taken by a Lumsden High School student. We have contacted Planned Parenthood to have the resource removed from any PVSD school presentation. Staff will continue to do their best to preview material to ensure that it does not meet the outcomes of the school curriculum, to ensure that it does meet the outcomes of the school curriculum. Okay, so I'm going to show you. So basically they're saying Planned Parenthood came in, gave this lesson. They had a side table where kids could go up to it. They could get pamphlets, et cetera. And they could have also grabbed some of these A to Z sexual health flashcards. The flashcards themselves were created by ACT, which is the AIDS Committee of Toronto. I picked a few of them. I will say the vast majority of the flashcards A to Z are too grotesque and insane for ninth graders. I've picked four or five to read to you. Again, if you have kids, I don't suggest they listen or watch. So let's get to flashcard for A. A is for autofellatio, which the card describes as the practice of sucking your own D. Be aware, you can spread an STI from one area of your body to another through skin-to-skin contact, such as a herpes sore. I mean, besides the point that I don't actually think that that's physically possible, what are you trying to teach them with that? Let's see, what is F for? What does F stand for? F is for felching. Oh my God. I'm gonna read this because, look, it makes me uncomfortable, but this was in a room with ninth graders. So I have to read it in order for you to truly understand how sick this stuff is. F is for felching. Oh my gosh. The act, oh my gosh, I don't want to. The act of sucking semen from your partner's butt. It goes on to read, as if semen didn't taste good enough already. What am I supposed to do with this? I'm going to read it again because I just feel like we need to know.
I don't know.
Nothing says lovin' like semen fresh from the oven. If you're going to chow down on some A-marinated semen, just know that you and your partner are at a high risk for HIV and STIs. People, this is insane. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep going. H. H is for half and half. When someone sucks your D and then your A, it's nice to split the attention 50-50. That way, your butt won't get some sort of inferiority complex. If you like eating butt, you might like to consider getting an hepatitis A and B vaccination from your local clinic. What? What is... I almost have to laugh so I don't have an actual mental breakdown. And then, and again, what is the sexual health? You know, they're saying, don't do this obscure thing that you probably never would have heard of otherwise. Otherwise, you'd probably just go to a clinic and get an STI screening. Then why are you even telling them about it? Why are you telling them to do things that I've never even heard of? Felching? A half and half? You're exposing them to things they didn't even know about that they could do, I guess, if they wanted to, as a way to tell them to go to the clinic and get an STI screening? You guys are sick. There is, and then again, the M card. M is for money shot. The cum shot in porn movies when the oiled up cowboy ejaculates. It must be hard to be a porn star. You have to come when you're told with tons of people watching you. Unfortunately, no one ever caught anything from watching porn. Or they say, fortunately, no one ever caught anything from watching porn. Break out the buttery popcorn. Ninth graders, you guys. One more, because it's so absolutely... No, these both have different points of relevance that show how sick this is. N. N is for nooner, which I know what a nooner is. I've heard of a nooner used in only adult contexts. But listen to how sick the description is. Again, ninth graders. Sex over the lunch hour. Often complicated by busy food courts, cafeteria lunch ladies, and the fact that the sun is directly overhead. But isn't the thought of getting caught behind the salad bar half the fun? These are kids. Are you encouraging them to have sex at school during the lunch hour? This might be the craziest thing we've ever talked about on the show. Planned Parenthood has no place in schools. No place in schools. One more. Nicole, I know you're going to gag over this.
I know, this is the worst.
U stands for urophilia. Again, I didn't even know about this and the kids didn't either. Urophiles are people with urine fetishes. They can't get enough of the number one, piss, pee-pee, tailwater, whiz. Foreplay for urophiles often involves combining salty foods and big gulps. For safety's sake, stick to being peed on, not peed in. It's way safer.
It's a straw necessary.
You guys, this is sick. This, can you imagine if you were a parent, instantly, my kid's never going back to that school.
Right.
My kids never. And the fact that their reaction as a school district was to say, we've told Planned Parenthood not to include those resources in future demonstrations. So you're going to have them back? No, they don't. That's the straw. They don't get warnings after something like that. That's sick, sick stuff. Again, there are some legitimate reasons for teaching high schoolers about STDs, et cetera, safe sex, all of those things. If you cannot have outside people do that who are trustworthy, who will stay on script to the approved curriculum, then you have to stop having them in. And I know this is a story out of Canada, but it is not too far off from what happened in the Olympia School District regarding fourth and fifth graders. Again, a representative from Planned Parenthood who comes in, doesn't bother with the approved curriculum, and shows them stuff that no fourth or fifth grader should be shown. Planned Parenthood has proven that it has no place in our public schools when it comes to this stuff. And the only people who can be held accountable are government employees who go off script. If you have a teacher who says, oh, the approved curriculum I'm going to ignore, and I'm gonna teach my own curriculum, A to Z sex flashcards, then that's a teacher who can be fired. Can't fire someone from Planned Parenthood. I am sorry that I had to read that. But honestly, I can't censor that. Because the kids, it's not censored for the kids. That's some sick stuff. Absolutely.
And as you mentioned,
unbelievable.
It was in Canada, but it was in Chilliwack, which actually isn't that far away. That's BC. That's just above
Saskatchewan?
Surrey. No, Chilliwack. That's the school it was at, and it was in BC. Oh.
BC. Was it?
Yes.
I saw it was at, will you look at that name of that school doesn't sound familiar.
Then it got in a couple schools, because I'm looking at National Post right now. BC School, Chilliwack, BC. Yeah, so it's not that far away.
It's so weird. Yeah, for some reason I thought it was in, where is Saskatchewan?
That's far away.
It was in Saskatchewan, so maybe it got more than one.
I'm looking at it.
Okay. Anyway, absolutely disgusting.
It's crazy.
Okay, coming up next, this whole story around the missing submersible submarine, it has truly brought out the worst of people. The worst of the media, the worst of social media. It's been so absolutely gross to watch. I'll give a few examples coming up next, but first we've been talking about our friends over at First Mark Insurance, how I think it's just a no-brainer. It's such a good thing to do, the First Mark Challenge. For you and your family and your future, it only takes a little bit of time. Essentially what First Mark is going to do, firstmarkinsurance.com, if you want to take the First Mark Challenge, is they're going to review all your current insurance, talk to you about your needs, and then they're going to go out for free, doesn't cost you anything, and they're going to shop the big carriers, see what they can get you. And it is a really good learning experience, if not anything else. Dave Taylor, the CEO of First Mark, says they often find that people like Mike and I were very, very underinsured.
So the risk is, if you get in an auto accident and you don't have enough coverage, you get in an auto accident that's your fault, and you don't have enough coverage, then they can come after you personally for any additional amounts over and above your coverage limit. And that means things like your retirement plan, or come after your equity in your home, or garnish your wages. So it's a big thing. And like with you and Mike, I just think most people haven't had someone take the time to explain it to them in terms they can understand, and show them the how inexpensive it is to actually get the correct coverage.
Yeah, so there's three things that are gonna happen if you take the First Mark Challenge. One, they come back and they tell you, hey, you actually have pretty good insurance. Good job. Stay with what you have. And then you walk away and you're like feeling good about yourself. Two, like Mike and I, you could get much better insurance for the same price. That's what we got. We feel, and we also feel way more secure knowing that what we work hard for is protected. Or you might save a ton of money. I've heard stories of people who took the First Mark Challenge who saved thousands of dollars a year. So just set aside some time and do it. It really is a no-brainer. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. They work for you. Okay, let's dip outside of Washington State before we get to Florida, report with my sister. This missing submersible story, and Nicole, I know you've been watching. I think there was a press conference scheduled. I don't know if it's happened yet. The latest news on it is they found a debris field close to the Titanic, and so maybe it's possible that it collapsed in on itself. Either way, this is a tragedy, right? And to watch the way it has been, you know, used to divide people, and again, we talk about the whole purpose of Undivided, to reject false narratives meant to divide us. And this is one of the examples of that. So first, there was just some really salacious, unfortunate reporting on it, besides the whole division thing. You know, News Nation, for instance, which is supposed to be a better alternative, I thought, to cable news, they were running this little ticker in the corner of their screen, a countdown clock. It said, air runs out, in, and it had a countdown clock. Can you imagine if these are your friends or family members, and you're watching the news, and they got a countdown clock for when they're going to run out of air and die? What is wrong with you, News Nation? That's insane to me. I mean, no respect or regard for people. Awful. But then when I talk about, you know, the way that this has been divisive, so there have been a few articles, like, because the people in the sub are rich, then we shouldn't care about them? And for instance, the New Republic got just obliterated online, thankfully, for this tweet. OceanGate CEO Stockton Rush, OceanGate operates the company with the sub, was not a Republican mega donor, but his donations over the years leaned heavily toward Republican candidates. Who cares? What does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with the five people lost somewhere in the ocean? That is the definition of being a horrible, awful human being. I mean, I'm trying to put myself in the mindset of an editor or a reporter saying, hey, let's do a story on the political leanings of the founder of OceanGate while they're looking for these people. You guys are sick. That is some really sick and divisive stuff. As if the company's owned by a Republican and these people deserve to die, what the hell is wrong with you? That's insane. And there were more. So I don't know if you guys heard about it. There was this story involving a boat full of migrants. And the woke element of the media is like, oh, there's so much coverage for this submarine and nobody cares about the migrants who died and the migrant tragedy. One of the articles was from the Associated Press. This tweet, the wealth of the sub passengers also contrasted with the desperation that pushed hundreds of migrants to leave their homes and try to reach Italy by boat last week. So there are many, many stories saying, oh, they only, you know, the media is focusing on the submersible because of all the rich people in it. And then they don't care about the poor migrants off the coast of Italy who died, which is ridiculous. And those two situations aren't even similar. And yes, when you're talking about a submersible submarine that is diving down to the depths of the ocean to look at the most famous shipwreck in history, yeah, there's going to be some intrigue there at a higher level. And you're talking about an ongoing active situation. I would also remind the Associated Press that there have been many a story of rescue that has been focused on around the clock by news media that didn't have to do with wealthy billionaires in a submarine. Do I need to remind you of the Thai cave rescue and the fact that how many movies and documentaries and series were done about the search for 12 poor Thai boys in a cave? So just the facts don't bear out that argument that people don't care when an impoverished person is in need of rescue. Because there are plenty of examples of not only Hollywood, but the media focusing on the rescue of minors, for instance, the rescue of people from rubble of collapsed buildings. This submersible is not the first time the media has been obsessed with a search and rescue effort. You're just trying to divide people. You're trying to create new ways to divide people. And that's why corporate media is absolutely failing, because you do things like that. It's so disappointing to see that. When we used to have tragedies like that, you know, whether it's miners in a cave or a natural disaster and trying to rescue people, the Oso landslide, whatever it is, that's a time for people to come together, for the nation to come together, to just care about human life, to root for the people and their survival and their rescue. But is this what we've become? Deeming who's worthy of rescue based on their socioeconomic status, based on their race, doing countdown clocks for when someone might die, might run out of air. It's sick stuff. It's sick stuff. Okay, we'll get questions and comments from the live stream coming up in a moment. But first, let's get to our weekly segment with my sister. It is Florida Report.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Miranda, howdy doody.
Howdy doody.
If you haven't noticed, I'm trying to find a different way to greet you every time.
Oh, well, I'll be like, hola. We have to try different languages so people can actually learn something from your greetings.
You know, stop culturally appropriating a different language, white woman.
Education is never cultural appropriation.
Okay. So it is Pride Month. I don't know if you haven't heard. I didn't know it's Pride Month.
You don't say.
But, you know, we were talking last week about Francis Suarez, the mayor of Miami, who's running for president. And he's more of a moderate Republican. And there have been some articles about his, you know, real vocal support for the LGBTQ community and how some see it as in conflict with the rest of the GOP, which I don't think is necessarily fair, but he's getting some attention for that.
He is. Like, as you said, he's a little bit more moderate. And this is definitely one of those topics that he's very outspoken about that's going to set him pretty far apart from any of his other, like, Republican contenders coming up in this race. I mean, he's over the years, you know, proudly tweeted out support for different events, different celebrations, and just the community in general. I think he's he does a good job of being able to, like, you know, celebrate people for their identity, but also take that identity away and realize they're just constituents, and, you know, and see what that community does for the city in general. I mean, Miami has a huge LGBTQ population. So at the end of the day, it's not just about Pride Month. I mean, these are people that he's got to look out for their best interests. They're people that vote for him or don't vote for him, but they're people who live in the city. So he shows a huge support for them, as yeah. well as a lot of different marginalized groups too.
And he's gonna, I mean, I don't think you'd be the mayor of Miami and be anti-gay. I don't think that he would get away with that. But I also just disagree with the narrative that, like, the prevailing belief in the Republican, you know, space is, like, to be anti-gay. I think that, you know, the transgender issues, I think, are a little bit different. But Donald Trump, he was very outspoken in support of the LGBTQ community. He sold Pride merchandise, you know, the MAGA Pride merchandise. So I don't think the GOP gets enough credit for how far it's come on those issues like traditional marriage. Are there some members of the Republican Party who are still opposed to gay marriage, et cetera? Yes. But Francis Suarez has been very vocal for a long time in march and parades, and I think that would help him with some voters. Meanwhile, also in Florida, DeSantis, also running for president, is suing the Biden administration.
He is. He's going to sue the Biden administration to stop accrediting agencies for colleges from having influence over the state's educational programs. Another step in his fight for, you know, Florida have control over what's taught in the classroom all the way from kindergarten into extended learning in college.
Yeah. So I guess what is their fear with, because accreditation, obviously, you need that, like, to know that a college is, like, legit. Like, is it accredited or not? So I guess what is his fear?
His fear might be that some of these companies and these third party places that aren't, you know, he made mention to the fact that these people aren't elected, they're appointed. So there's got to be some favoritism and some bias that comes in with that, too, because they aren't elected. So maybe eventually they'll look at his educational standards as not worthy of accreditation and decide not to give those accreditations to colleges from our state. So, which might be a pretty honest observation, but whether or not he needs to sue the Biden administration over it or just have some negotiations, I don't know.
I can see it a little bit there, like the concern that with DeSantis and what he's trying to do with education, some of which I agree with, some of which I don't agree with, that you could have a Republican or a Democratic administration that's like, nope, like, we're going to try to discredit colleges and universities in the state of Florida. So that's really interesting. It's a debate and a conversation I haven't heard before.
Yeah.
Also, Florida is a free state, as we know, but not that free, because some places in Florida are under strict quarantine lockdowns.
We are, and this is extremely important. We are being infested with invasive African land snails.
Which actually sounds pretty threatening.
It actually is. So these things not only eat like 500 different species of local plant life, they also can eat through stucco, road signs, and they also carry a parasite that can transport meningitis. So they're just all around pretty bad. And that's part of the reason why they don't belong here. And they came in again through the exotic pet trade, because I guess people like to have giant snails as pets, and they just thrive here. Everything does very well in Florida as far as plant and wildlife goes. So let me just also say that every year they show up somewhere else in the state and there's a quarantine and a lockdown.
I feel like
in some
we talked
port.
About it previously on Florida Report, but
yeah, but what amongst all the other invasive species we have. But right now this is the current one, and it's really close to here. It's in Broward County. So it's just north of here in Fort Lauderdale Beaches. So there's parts of Broward County that are on lockdown. So I'm wondering if they'll migrate far enough south to shut down Miami's beaches.
But to be clear, this isn't like a COVID lockdown where everybody's sheltering in place in their homes. It has to do with what? What is the restriction here?
So a lockdown like this basically means that you can't remove anything from the areas in lockdown, like rocks, plant life, the actual animal itself, or any other animals that could possibly now be carrying this parasite that they could possibly have. So it's basically just like, if you're going to go to the beach, don't take anything with you. Stomp your feet out really good of sand and and leave everything as you found it, as you should when you visit any natural place.
Well, it's like for people here who need an example, it's like when Governor Jay Inslee brought infested apples across to the other side of the state as a gift to apple country, and they had the maggots in them, and they're like, wow, you violated an apple maggot quarantine, and he's the governor, so he just got away with it. What are the names of these little buggers again?
They're called African land snails.
Racist.
And they get big. They're like 4 inches across at some in some sizes.
Racist. If you can't call you racist. What were the, Nicole might remember this, the African giant hornets, the murder hornets. And people are like, don't call them the African giant hornets.
Oh, yeah, those are up in Blaine, my hometown.
That's racist. So, Miranda, I'm sorry. You cannot call it that.
Well, they come from Africa, apparently.
You could call it the spiky shell something something.
From Africa.
No. Okay. All right. Well, steer clear, Miranda. Now I'm worried about you. All right.
If I see any, I will take a picture so we can share.
But don't
with your
move
followers.
Anything.
No.
Okay. All right, Miranda, thank you.
Bye.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
African land snails. Interesting. All right, that has been Florida Report. Coming up next, we'll get your questions and comments from the stream today. But first, I've been talking a lot about Eastside Weight Loss Clinic, 36 pounds down on the program, feeling great, looking forward to summer, not going to look back at pictures from the summer and regret not having lost the weight I gained during COVID sooner. And I've heard from a lot of you who've had great results on the program. It's not magic, but it does teach you a better way of eating. There's no counting calories, no prepackaged meals, no strenuous workout routine or hypnosis or anything weird like that. If you want to find out if the program is right for you, if it's a good fit, it's really easy. Just schedule a free 15-minute consultation with Dr. Ryan Coogan at eastsideweightlossclinic.com. That's eastsideweightlossclinic.com. Again, that's a free 15-minute consultation. And he'll tell you all about the program, and you can decide, is this something that I want to pursue? And the good news is, you can do the whole thing virtually. You never have to go to an office anywhere. So no matter where you're living in this wide world of ours, you can do the Eastside Weight Loss Clinic plan and see results like I have. All right, questions, comments from the live stream today on gas prices, which is just such a bummer to see all the gaslighting going on around gas. Lori says, gas prices and grocery prices affect me every day and whether I can afford to go and what I'm able to eat every single day. Kelly said, and the WOC CARES tax is right on the heels of the increase in gas prices. It will never end. Yeah, I've been meaning, Nicole, will you write this down? Because we need to do some coverage of the long-term care tax before it takes effect at the beginning of July, just to answer some questions people have been sending in, common questions about it. But yeah, that's going to be more money out of your paycheck, and then your money's not going as far because gas prices, grocery store prices, and all of that. On Dave Reichert, the assertion from State Senator McEwen that Reichert is actively considering a run for governor, Maria Culkin said, I agree with Nicole. Dave Reichert is handsome, a silver fox. All right, people, this is a serious program. We don't laugh on this program. We don't talk about people's looks.
It's just one of his
really sexist
attributes.
Really sexist, if I'm being honest. No, I'm just kidding. I asked whether you guys would vote for him. Well, first, the question on the poll question today is, can Dave Reichert win the governor's race? 67% say yes, 33% say no. And don't get me wrong, even with the white whale, it's still, we know, an uphill task to win as a Republican. But like I said, I think with someone like Dave who has the history that he has, the name recognition, I feel like if he can't do it, then you kind of know that it really cannot be done in this political climate in Washington. Mary said, I will hold my nose and vote for him, but I won't be happy about it. I'm curious, Mary, why? What is it that you have to hold your nose on to be able to vote for him? On King County Metro bus drivers fired over the vax mandate being put to the front of the line to be rehired, David said, thank you for being a subscriber, David. He said, likely King County did not provide accommodations for those that asked for a religious exemption. That is discrimination, and King County should be held accountable for those firings. For others that were fired for not taking the injection, King County should offer a bonus. Had they any integrity, they would offer bonuses to hire the former employees back. It does feel like there would need to be some extra compensation in order to get them back. But again, that's, I think, the point of them saying, oh, you can come back, but you can't sue us and you can't have any claims against us. And I guess I find it hard to believe that people fired that long ago over the vax mandate haven't found new jobs by now. I would tend to think that it's been so long, they're probably working somewhere else. I think a very small number are going to take King County Metro up on that offer, if any. On the flashcards, the A to Z sex flashcards, which again, I'm sorry for the grotesque segment in our show today, but if ninth graders are exposed to it, then we should be exposed to it too, to feel as comfortable as they probably feel in these situations. Mandy said, this is why my children are in private school. If not, we'd already be out of this horrific state. People have lost their minds and their morals and ethics. And the flashcard thing, just a reminder, it happened in Canada, but there were Planned Parenthood lessons being taught in the Olympia School District that went off script as well. And that's kind of the problem, is these outsiders. And the other bummer is, you know, for not all families can afford private school. You know, I think that that's a luxury for a lot of families, and you're left in this situation, and there's families who can't do homeschooling either. And so it's like, gosh, what are they going to do with their kids? And how much say can parents have? And how much of a review can parents have in what their kids are being taught in school? You want to believe you can send your kid to school 5 days a week and trust that they're not being shown stuff like that. That's freaking crazy. Randy said, flammable Randy. You flammable? He said, glad I skipped breakfast and lunch. Yeah, not the segment you wanted to be eating during. Talking about urine and stuff. It's weird. Let me see here. I think Rainbow said, I would really like to know the author of the cards. Again, it was the AIDS Center of Toronto.
Yeah.
AIDS Center of Toronto or something like that. So that was brought in by Planned Parenthood. On the submarine story, Matt, did you put this in so I could shame Matt?
Yes.
Matt, we were just saying that the story brings out the worst in people. And then you post the comment, the pressure of the story is crushing. The story has left me breathless. That's terrible.
Terrible, Matt.
The next time I see you, we're better than that, Matt. We're better than that. I love you, man. Nicole put the comment in there. All right. Let us get to, I think those are all the comments I've got for today. Let us get to our closing sanity check, shall we? So by now you probably heard that Marjorie Taylor Greene called Lauren Boebert a B-I-T-C-H on the floor. Now, this didn't happen in an actual floor speech or remarks or anything like that, but I'll play for you a video of what's happening during all of this, and you can kind of see the two talking. You don't hear the B word be dropped, but let me just play the video and I'll explain as we go.
Take your conversations to the back.
Take your conversations to the
off
back.
Off the floor.
Off the floor. A very animated conversation between the two of
them. For what purpose does the gentlewoman order, please?
Oh, very animated chat between the two
For
women.
What purpose so, does the gentlewoman from Florida,
apparently, this came up. This came up because they were both kind of arguing over different resolutions to impeach Joe Biden. And Boebert tried to force her own impeachment resolution. Apparently, Marjorie Taylor Greene felt undercut by it all. And she called her either just the B word or a little B word. Either way, children, absolute children, with no respect for the people's house, no respect for conduct, no respect for how they should behave as representatives, not only of their respective districts and their respective states, but of the United States. And I think indicative of the kind of politics that we have to get away from. I mean, this really is truly childish behavior. And I'm old enough to remember a time when no one would even consider acting that way on the floor of the House or the floor of the Senate. And if you are so wound up in doing that job that you're letting, oh, your little beat, like it's like a schoolhouse playground bullying, then I'm sorry, this is just not the job for you. It can't be the job for you. And especially when it comes to a vote of that nature, you know, it's a nothing resolution. They're not going to be able to impeach Joe Biden. And so you're so focused on that. You're so focused on not undercutting each other, being the one to get the glory for a resolution to impeach Joe Biden. Then you go up and you call her a little B word. we have, at a time when we've got a crisis on the southern border, we have a public safety crisis, we have so much, you know, gas prices, inflation still a problem, we have so much going on. This is what you choose to spend your time on. This is the decorum that you choose to show in Congress. You have no place there. It's insanity. Okay, a couple reminders of some events that we have coming up. Tomorrow, there's a community cleanup. If you'd like to help out businesses to get Seattle ready for the MLB All-Star Game, because our government can't be trusted to do it, Together Washington is holding a community cleanup. I will be there tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. To find out how you can participate and register, visit togetherwashington.com. That's togetherwashington.com. Also, I'll be having the second meet and greet on our tour of Western Washington on Saturday, June 24th, this coming Saturday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Cutter's Point Coffee Company, 5831 Lacey Boulevard in Lacey. I'll be there. Come say hi. And I will have copies of Referendum 101 for you to sign. You don't have to sign them. It's not a condition of you coming to say hello. You can have a cup of coffee and just chat about politics. But I would love to see as many of you as possible and have as many of you sign Referendum 101 as possible. Am I forgetting anything, Nicole?
I think you got it.
She thinks I got it. All right, that has been it for today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. If you have not subscribed to the show already, please do so. You can go to undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. It's just $5 a month. For subscribers, we will see you on Sundays with subscribers, our exclusive show just for you. For the rest of you, I will see you on the live show Monday.